Yes, everybody. Hi. Hello. It's me, your best friend in the whole world. Josh Accardo, Slam Pig Podcast, coming at you with another amazing episode of the show. My guest today, really attractive, lovely, insightful, intelligent woman, and also performance artist. I have Splits Art on the show. Now, Splits and I go way back. I know her from times that I've been to Miami, when I went to Art Basel. She does a lot of showcases there. And I thought, who better to have on than her, because she is an original. Now, that being said, as much as she's an original, it is also really hard when you have someone as unique as Splits Art to find that essence that is her. And I think I've done that quite well, because she does something so unique that I don't think – I've never seen it before, and I don't think anyone else does it. She is like a body contortionist that actually uses her body as a paintbrush and makes paintings, and they're pretty fucking cool. So I had her on. I'm sorry I keep saying but I had some caffeine, so I'm a little jittery, but I did it again. Fuck. You're going to love her. She's awesome. She's insightful. She's a Midwest girl that now lives in Miami. That's my phone. Yeah, I'm messing this whole thing up. Man, don't listen to me anymore. I'm a fucking clown, okay? But the interview's great. Enjoy it. So Splits Art is here. She's amazing. She's my friend. We go way back, and she does really cool performance art where she'll, like, you'll paint while, like, you'll dip yourself in paint and do the splits and roll around on canvases, right? Like, that's kind of one of the things you've done?
That's kind of one of the things I've done. I actually use my entire body as a paintbrush and perform yoga, contortion, and dance across the canvas to create two-dimensional artwork. So as I am physically moving around the canvas, I press myself upon it in different ways. While there is, you know, amazing music and choreography going on, and the final outcome is a piece that is generally something that people can recognize, such as a portrait or a landscape or a famous landmark.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, this is, let's start from the beginning. All right, sure. So were you a gymnast? Were you a cheerleader? Like, because you don't just, like, show up one day and go, let's just fucking dump my whole body in this red paint and let's start rolling around. I mean, it does sound kind of logical. Like, you know, if you're going to roll around in paint, let's see what we can make out of it. But it doesn't start there. So what's your background?
I started off doing competitive dance and gymnastics. I grew up with that, and I was also very involved in the arts. Mm-hmm. When I went to school, I ended up getting my degree in art education. And I had just graduated college and was at home for that summer and heard on the radio that The Late Show with David Letterman was doing Stupid Human and Stupid Pet Trick auditions.
That's right, yes. So I remember that. So, no, okay, nah, time out. We're going too fast. You're going way too fast. You want to get to your career highlights way too fast. Let's really build up the suspense. So you're a teenage girl. And you're a curvy girl. Fan. I'm a fan. So when you're dancing, do you learn how to twerk right away? Or is that not in the repertoire when you're doing your dance choreography as a teenage girl?
Not that I want to give away my young age, but I don't think twerking was necessarily a thing when I started dancing.
Booty clapping's been around for a long time, so you're not giving away your young age.
I was dropping it like it's hot, but I professionally was doing a combination of competitive dance gymnastics, jazz, lyrical, improv, tap, and a little ballet as well.
Okay. So all that stuff, like, it's when someone starts, I've had some dancers on the show, and when I say dancers, not just strippers, but I've had, like, ballerinas and all that stuff. When you're really young, that's when you get thrown into a lot of different variations of dance, right? And then you have to decide, okay, what am I going to be? Because, like, a ballerina, you got to know right away. Like, it's a certain body type, Then when you are like, well, I'm going to be a gymnast, that's another certain body type.
Right. And my passion was gymnastics, and my body type didn't necessarily agree with staying in that manner.
Hold on. So there's some gymnasts that have racks.
There are, yet when you're in the fifth and sixth grade and you have a rack and you're trying to balance on a beam, things start to shift and you really have to work with it. So as I was growing out of my gymnast body, I kind of became a jock for a while and then got into sports and what have you. But I was still always drawn back to the dancing and flipping.
So boobs will throw your gravity off if you're walking on a beam.
As they're growing and you're adjusting to it, I mean, you don't really know the difference in the balance, but yes, it does make a bit of a difference.
So when my balls dropped, everybody, right. This is for all my listeners. So my balls dropped. I do remember not being able to walk in a straight line for a while. I had to adjust. I was very angry. I wanted to touch myself more and fight. What Splits is saying, old Splitsies over there, she's saying that this is interesting stuff. Now, it might be lowbrow at the moment, but I'm flipping it all around. Literally, when you are a blossoming female, not only the changes of your body, but when you're trying to balance on a beam or do the catapult or do that shit where they do the dancing and it's like on a trampoline, your boobs will fuck you over. And this is why these girls, they don't get their periods, right? A lot of these girls don't.
Duct tape them down.
They duct tape the breast. That's a real thing. Splits art, that's part of her art. She duct tapes her tits down and she lets people watch, and it's art. So you're going through all of this, different variations of dance. This is your passion, and you realize, like, I can't really make a career out of it. I mean, I know you do now, but as far as being a straight up, I'm going to be a dancer, when do you realize?
At that point in time, I mean, I was good for my area, but I wasn't destined for the Olympics per se. I had hit a level that was going to be what it was.
How old were you when that level was hit?
Probably around that time frame. Sixth grade, I stopped doing more competitive gymnastics and started seventh and on doing sports.
Is that what kind of sports did you play?
Oh, I did everything. Volleyball, basketball, track, men's soccer, first girl to ever make varsity at my high school.
Her picture's hanging up at the high school.
Yes.
They made her duct tape her breasts, too, in the locker room. And they're like, I heard she could do this. We need her. She's a goalie.
I did the flip throw-ins, though, and I could do the splits between people's dudes' legs to steal a ball. So
you know what, though? Let me ask you a question. Doesn't it get to a point where, like, people get so impressed by that your own ego starts to look for reasons to do this fucking splits? Like, yeah, have you ever seen League of Their Own? Remember when Dottie does the splits and she catches the foul ball just to kind of get press for the league? Is that like you? Or like, hey, we're going to get this girl for press and she's going to do the splits.
Maybe once or twice.
Yeah, because you're not a very modest girl. You're a nice girl, but modesty is not really your thing. So I could see you doing the splits all day in school, just going to the well too many times.
The valley's the works.
So you played boys soccer, first girl to make the team. You're an active girl. And you're growing up where? Pennsylvania?
Ohio.
Why do I always think it's Pennsylvania? Same. Samesies. So in Ohio, where you're from, are there a lot of inbred people there?
No. I grew up right on the lake, an hour outside of Cleveland, so it's...
The Cuyahoga River?
close to. It was right on Lake Erie. It never caught fire while I lived there, so that was solid.
They cleaned it up. They cleaned that up. That's good. Good for Cleveland. I was just in Cleveland a few months back, and you know what? I gotta say, I liked it. I had a good time. I didn't know if I would or not. It was cool.
Yeah.
Down home people.
Friendly people.
And now you live in Miami. So, what do you like better, Ohio or Miami?
I love the fact that I grew up in Ohio. I think it helped nurture a lot of who I am. But for a lifestyle now,
yeah,
definitely South Florida is the place to be. It is summer all year, and we just have a great time.
So I go to Florida a lot, and Florida gets a bad rap. Like, everywhere outside of Miami gets a pretty shitty rap. This is what's interesting to me, and what I want to get your opinion on before we keep going about all your many tasks that you've done as a young woman. So you have Ohio. My dad's side comes from Michigan, which is similar kind of people,
right?
And they get a bad rap too for being kind of like yokels. And then you have Florida, which is like they call it like the garbage of the South, like go to Florida type of thing. Now you're in two places that kind of have that rap, right? Do you ever say to yourself, am I one of these things because I'm attracted to these two places? Like, is there something to it? Because I know you're like a happy-go-lucky, you got kind of like a Midwest, like, cheesy smile. Like, you're a very smiley chick. Like, so do you ever think about that? Because that's the kind of weird shit I think about. Like, I'm very in tune with my surroundings and understanding whether or not I'm in a position where I'm making these decisions because am I a low life? Like, have you ever asked that question to yourself? Splitsart, am I a low life? That's a question we all should ask. Have you ever asked that for yourself? That's my question.
I'm going to go with the answer is, am I a low life? No, I have not asked myself that question. But I mean, I hadn't really put the sweaty penis of Florida and the cornbread Ohio together to really question how that roots in my decisions.
Right?
But
see, I think about the bigger issues here.
You do.
Yes, I'm an outside-the-box kind of guy. But it's so funny because tonight – I'm going to be really frank with everybody. I went on a masturbation bender for, I think, 2 hours, and my brain is mush right now. But it's coming back to me as I'm looking at Splitsart. It's all coming back to me because she's not only a class act and not a low life, but she's all business, and I appreciate that. You should see her. She looks great. Go to the Snapchat. You can probably see it. I'm going to post up on Instagram too. You can see that. It's great. Anyways, now that I've released that information because it was burdening me. It was a burden on me. By the way, she's on Skype, so we're recording through Skype. She can't see the microphone that I'm talking into, so she probably thinks I'm just like, Splits, do you think I'm just talking to a wall? Like, because I keep looking to the right, do you think I'm losing my mind?
As long as what's going on below the screen is taken care of, we're all good.
I love how, look at that. Look at, you already assume, you can see both of my hands, you're giving me a bad rap just because I was honest. This is why women and men don't get along. Seriously, this is why. Okay, she's laughing, but this is why men and women don't get along, because it's a presumptuous nature of a woman to assume that I am jacking myself underneath this table, which is not the case. I want an apology.
I apologize for assumptions.
I want a Splits art painting right now.
And yeah. I'm sorry, Splits aren't painting.
Can you actually spell things out with your splits?
Large enough canvas, I can.
Really?
Sure.
What kind of words can you spell out doing the splits?
I think I could, with a large enough canvas, I would be capable of probably doing the Declaration of Independence.
But you've never done it. You never, like, spell words, though.
I have not spelled words just using my body. Mm-hmm. But I do use a lot of pre-prep upon canvases with words that are then included as a final reveal for when the piece is complete. I rip a certain section of the canvas off and you're like, get a very full picture of the concept moment at the last.
So going back to where we left off, as far as like, this is what's very interesting, is that you're in the dance field, you're in sports, you're an active individual, you're crazy flexible, and you kind of, throughout college, you get a degree in art, correct? What college did you go to?
Kent State.
You went to Penn State?
Kent.
Oh, Kent with a K, yes, Kent State. So she goes to Kent State, she gets a little art degree, and you're like, well, that means I'll be broke my whole life. Like, when you get that art degree, is your parents like, well, how much money do you need, sweetie, forever?
luckily, my parents have been amazingly awesome and supportive of my interesting and random and now profitable artistic endeavors.
Sure.
but yeah, I bartended for a while. Let's be real.
No, yeah. This is what always, like, I feel like what's that? Say that again.
I've done the starving artist role.
Yeah, I've been a starving artist for a long time. I don't have any family, so it's I'm on my own. So the thing is, in this day and age, I feel like because the middle class is being eliminated, there. When I look on social media, all you see are people where you like girls always at the gym, like all these famous people who are like internet famous. You're like how do you afford not to work? Now I get at a certain point of a certain amount of followers, you start making money just because people want you to promote things. But at some point, you had to build that following up, right? So where the fuck are you getting money? And then I realized, a lot of you motherfuckers are funded by your family or your parents to sit around and eat kale all day and work out while the real people, the real jerk offs, are sweating it out in the rat race. And I'm saying this to all you prissy ass punk motherfucker. Sorry, good. Splits, all right. I was going crazy because I'm very irritable. I'm very irritable. I'm irritable about all the hard work I've had to put in. They keep saying like hard work's rewarding. And, like I know you're like a happy-go-lucky kind of gal, so you're probably like, oh my god, today was so hard and challenging, and I overcame it. Like I feel like that's your inner monologue always. You do the splits when you come into your house after a hard day, and you throw your bag out. I'm so happy we made it through today, even though my car broke down. I had to walk home in heels. Like, I feel like you just love the challenge.
Just love all that?
I'm just so fucking irritated with all the struggle.
So I
nailed it, didn't I?
I mean, there's definitely been a lot of ups and downs in the journey, as with, you understand, as artists too, and... You know, you just have to keep at it because that's the only way you're ever going to know if you're going to succeed.
It's a very rah-rah of you. Very rah-rah, sis kumba. Very good. So your parents supported you throughout your endeavors. Now it's a financial movement. You make money now. So you see, are you already doing the painting with your body when you see this ad come on for Letterman or?
No, I had not.
Okay, so tell us about that.
So yeah, we'll roll back to Letterman. The audition was specifically for Stupid Human and Stupid Pet Tricks. So with my splits, my Stupid Human trick involved me getting out in the splits with my legs like this, uh-huh. And I'm able to hop across the ground in that manner. So
okay, hold on. Let's paint this picture with words because it's radio, so we have to paint. See, you're fully spread. Your legs are spread, like parallel. Like what's the phrase? Where not spread eagle, but like literally, like a pair. Your legs are parallel. What is the wording?
I mean, in lieu of better term, yeah, spread eagle would be pretty spot on. They are, you know, it's 180 degrees.
Yeah,
straight out.
You're crazy flexible.
There's a line on the ground. My legs from toe to toe.
Your woman parts are touching the floor.
Touching the floor. And then they hop up.
And then you're hopping.
And then hopping.
How long can you hop for? Have you ever tried length?
Like, as in I should give the Guinness Book of Records a call? No, I haven't gone in a specific length, but I have gone across a stereotypical high school gym.
Ah.
So at least...
Does that hurt?
Yeah.
It does, right?
I mean, it's the repetition of... banging it on a wood floor. I mean...
Yeah, that's what I mean. Do you wear padding?
No.
So you don't wear, like, bike shorts where the ass and the chooch is padded or whatever? So no padded chooch. Maybe you should invent the padded chooch for the next people who try to do what you do. Just because you're constantly... You had to have made some invention. Like, you know... Some guitar players will put cement on their fingernails to harden them up so they don't break their nail and they can use their thumbnail as a pick. At some point, you must adapt somehow.
I have never put any cement down there. Everything
well, not cement. You know what I mean. But like maybe there's a trick you do. Maybe like there's a padding thing. You wear a maxi pad. I'm not trying to get graphic. I'm just saying the intricacies of what you do, it's so different. There has to be something you do to adjust, I would assume.
I mean, when I'm doing a performance piece, my canvas is adhered to children's play mats. So I do have like a thick yoga mat sort of base when I'm doing a performance piece.
Okay. Okay, so that's protection for you.
Yes.
Okay. So you are doing this and you have who, a friend film you doing this to send to Letterman, a family member? Is your mom and dad doing it?
No, it was, they had a casting call for the audition. So I went to it and was lucky number 13. And after I performed my hopping split.
You came to New York?
No, they were traveling the country.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So you're in Ohio at this point. Are you in Florida? Cleveland. Okay. Keep going. Sorry.
No worries. After I had performed my stupid human trick, it was on actually, it's at a comedy club in downtown Cleveland.
What's the name of the club? I probably played it.
I don't remember. Stitches? So it was an improv. It was
Crackers? Improv. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
And when I was done, I was swarmed by reporters, and they're like, oh my God, you're so going to New York. That was amazing. And I ended up on one of the, like, I think it was the front page of the entertainment section for the Cleveland Plain Dealer at that time. So there was that first taste of everything. And
Hold on. So you are spread eagle bouncing on your lady parts, and people are like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. You're taking, like, people are beside themselves with excitement.
Yes.
And then they're like, you're going to be huge. Like, you're the next.
You're the next stupid human.
You're the next Siamese twin that sings country music. Like, you are the next weirdo. And you're like, okay, this is nuts, right? Because you never had any aspirations to necessarily be on TV, right? You're a dancer.
Right.
How many times did you do this crazy shit before you did it on Letterman? Is this something you did for your friends at parties and stuff, or what?
All the time. I've been able to do it since I was like 5 years old.
And it's really that unique. I mean, I've seen it. It's crazy looking, but I feel like someone might have done it before you.
I have not come across anyone that's done it before me. If you've seen the recent viral of the splits races that are going on in, you know, Japan or China, somewhere along the Asian area, it's similar to that, but airborne. So it involves a lot of muscular thrust from the thigh area.
Sure. Very, very, well done. So I guess my question is, I have a lot of questions, but specifically relating to this. You have this happen in like mid-2000s probably, right?
Right.
And now everyone is itching to go viral. Are you kind of irritated at the timing that maybe if this had happened now, it would be fucking everywhere with Twitter and all the bullshit now? I mean, I know that stuff was kind of around then, but not like it is now.
Right. And life is about timing. It's surprising that I haven't had one of my instances do something that did go completely viral. I mean, granted, I've got a fair enough amount of hits on things, but it isn't to something where it's in the millions, where you're just completely mind blown that many people have.
Yeah, because like everyone knows, the listeners know, I have a web series that's on YouTube and it has a lot of views and whatever, but the reps, because YouTube reps the show, like they foster the show, and I'm like obsessed with the people that get viral videos. And they, because the money they make is nutty. It's a fucking nutty world out there. And it's people you never heard of make tons of dough. And what they were telling me is that someone like you, if your shit went viral, one of these split walking things went viral, you still have to maintain that audience. But built off of that platform alone with all those viral people, you could start making cash right away. Isn't that crazy? So if you would have done that tomorrow and someone was like, holy, you see this weirdo chick? Like, and it'd be huge. I mean, you're successful now, but you're right. Timing is everything. It has to be irritating.
A little bit.
You want to fight? You want to punch someone in the throat, don't you? Let it out, Splitzart. I want you to have my anger too. Let's embrace it together. So you do it on Letterman, and I've been on the Letterman set before. And it's a cool set, and Letterman's a legend, was a legend. He's no longer on TV, obviously. But are you nervous? Where do they put you? In the what green room are you in? Who's on the show that night?
I actually had two experiences at the Letterman Studios. The first time that I was there, it was the Beastie Boys as the guests. And awesome. I, amazingly enough, got to check them out while they were doing their warm-up. So while they were on stage, I was hanging out on stage with them, just, me and Mike D breaking it down.
And they're like, who are you? And you're like, I do the splits just thing. Wait. I'm really, just wait.
But for the actual show, they have five stupid humans come in and you perform live on stage, but they only choose three for that episode. And there was another hopping trick on that episode.
So you got bumped.
I got bumped, which they said, don't worry about it. We'll bring you back another time. And so once you come here, you'll keep coming here until you are on the show. So it was cool because I have so many friends that live in the city, so I knew I was going to get another amazing trip. And
that's exactly, let's go back to the original part of this conversation where she has a tough day and she's so happy about it. If I got bumped and I went all the way to New York, I would be livid. Like, my life would be over. I would be very upset. She's like, and I get to come back again. And go, because the nerves you go through when you're performing on live or on any kind of television or any kind of performance, there's a certain amount of nerves, right? Even for your shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
What if you mess up? What if you shit your pants? I mean, there's all kinds of weird, because the camera's focused on that area. If you do something weird there or make a weird sound, it's over. You're mortified.
In HD.
And they're going to see it. They're going to really see it. You get a camel toe. And I'm not trying to be filthy here. These are things that she has to think about all the time, right?
Right.
What do you wear when you're doing that? When you're doing the trick? Is it the yoga pants or what are you wearing?
At that point in time, my first time at Letterman, I actually came in looking too fabulous.
In what sense?
And I was told that they would like me to head back to my hotel room and change into something a bit more girl next door, as if they had just pulled me off the streets, opposed to looking like I was supposed to be a guest on the show that night.
What were you wearing the first time?
I had got these great pants from Express that were kind of like a black stretchy material with silver pinstripes in it. And I had this really cute top on and then like a blazer over that. And my hair was all curled and I was all done to the nines. So
hayseed. We have you here because you're a hayseed. You got to go back and hayseed your outfit up, all right? Fucking go put the jeans on and the terrible Leonard Skinner shirt. Fucking come in, do your thing like you're going to pee.
Right.
So you get bumped. Are your people there disappointed? Your family, your friends who you brought, are they bummed out?
My parents had actually decided to fly in for it. So they were a little bit bummed, but still we were super excited that
you're there.
I was there. It was happening.
So how long, what's the separation time from that show until when you actually got to do your shit?
A full year later.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're waiting for the call thinking, probably in a month, right? You're thinking like probably a month I'll be back. And a year later they call you. And do people go this time or they're like, nah?
My parents couldn't make it that time. So I had one of my best friends was in the audience, and then the other one was with me in the second green room, not the cool green room.
Yeah. Because I've been in those green rooms. Like they give you like a little
upstairs.
The upstairs one is like when you're a guest, like an actual guest. They put you upstairs, and then you got to walk down these rickety steps in Ed Sullivan Theater. And the best part is when Letterman is done, like when the show is done shooting, they shut that door so no one could see him, and he bounces. It's really hilarious.
But the guest when I was on ended up being Jake Gyllenhaal.
Ooh.
Whew, right.
She did a whole like fanning thing, like she was kind of faint. The effect was lost.
it was really, timing was perfect for that instance, as I had just completed my trick on stage, and as I was headed back towards the downstairs green room, the elevator doors opened.
Yeah. That's because they bring the guest up in that elevator. You always run into the guest in the previous segment when you go in the elevator. I ran into Nathan Lane, like, not nice. Quite as exciting, but whatever.
And he stepped out and introduced himself, told me I was amazing, and I was swooning then and just praying by the time that I got back to my hotel room that night, there'd be a note on the door and flowers, but...
It didn't happen. No. Can you imagine how much trim that guy gets, though? I mean, it's like one of those things where no one can fathom. Like, I do okay, but you can't fathom not only being really good looking and in shape, but also really famous and talented, too. Like, and not just famous, but you actually have an art you do that you're good at. It must be ungodly. Like, Leonardo DiCaprio, that guy, I'm surprised he's even able to get out of the house in the morning. I wouldn't leave the house. I would never leave. When I see him out with his hat on, trying to look shitty, like, that's when you know you get a lot of pussy. You're like, I need to look shitty. How can I look shittier? Put on weight, get all bloated, put a fucking weird hat on. Anyways, so you do Letterman, and you still haven't started painting yet with your body, though.
Correct.
Okay. So how far, like, what, let's do like a quick summary of what, like, the events to follow. So you're on Letterman, and I'm sure you're thinking, you're business-minded. How can I turn this into something? National television.
I was thinking that way when I was on Letterman, because at that point in time, I was really focused on I was doing a lot of jewelry design work, and I designed Letterman a pair of cufflinks. And I gave those to him live on stage, which I've now heard from a fellow stupid human who has been on since, that they are told they were not allowed to give anything to Letterman, anything that was unannounced. I was the one that brought that rule.
Yeah, he's not, like, cool with that.
But he ended up being so cool with it, because really? He went out several times during the rest of the show, so it ended up working out for my benefit. And also, the camera zoomed in on it, so people were able to see my website and email address at the time. So I did end up getting a jewelry design work out of it. And then
you got a PA. You got a PA fired, though. Let's talk about that. You know, you got some PA fired. He's like, who the fuck let this chick give me cufflinks? Like, you got a production assistant fired. How dare you?
It's, you know, sometimes in life better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Yes, that's great. Yeah, you're totally right. So you were able to, you had your website already set up and everything going already, which was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing you were going to pull this move.
Yes.
Okay, so you knew you were going to give him something, and you had the foresight to go, well, I'm going to give him something. Let's do it in a way where I have everything set up, so in case people really like the shit, they can buy it.
Exactly.
And you sold it on your own, or you sold it through another company?
I sold it on my own.
Okay. So that's one thing. And then are you thinking to yourself, at what point between the Letterman until you actually start going, well, I got to do something with this, and then you find out that you can do some painting?
Yes, that's
Because are you a painter in general? Not to cut you off, but are you a painter? Oh, okay, all right.
Go. I do paint my hand as well.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It was probably within a month to 2 months after being on the show where my friends and I were joking on what can we do to capitalize on this, you know, 15 minutes of fame that I was getting.
Yes.
And a friend of mine actually said, what would happen if we put paint on your legs and you did the hopping splits on a giant canvas? And I said, I don't know, but let's find out.
How high were you guys when he said that?
Yeah.
I love how conservative she is, too. She's like, not going to – people know you're high. Who the fuck thinks of that sober?
But anyways, it was a, you know, bucket of red paint and a bed sheet, and that was the first Splits art piece being born.
Yeah.
And then after that, I started to elaborate a little bit upon it with hopping across it in different directions and starting to add some different colors. And that was kind of where it was for that moment.
So you're like, everyone's like, you know, because the novelty is painting with your tits and your butt and your body, right? A lot of people do that nude. That's like a sex art thing. Correct. You take it to another level where you're like, I'm not taking my clothes off. I'm literally going to paint doing the splits. right?
Correct. Now I actually wear several different layers of lace stockings and leggings and things that provide different textures on the canvas. And then as I need to change a color, I, in a seductive enough manner to still keep it PG-13, but interesting, I take off those different layers and that takes off a certain color. And then I can add a new color in onto a layer that's below.
So you're basically, the layers you're wearing are your brushes, if you will.
Yes. It holds a lot of the paint on there.
Yeah, yeah.
So it lasts longer on the canvas.
And when you take it off, that's part of the performance, is it's almost quasi-striptease-esque, even though no one's going to see any tits and bits. Not at all. Not a one. But it gives the illusion that it could happen.
Correct.
So, I remember seeing a video of you doing your thing at, what's the name of that really famous festival in Miami, the art one?
Art Basel.
Yeah, so I was there in Miami at Art Basel, which is this huge thing. I think it, let me ask you this. I think, like a lot of things, like Comic-Con, to me, has lost a lot of its luster because it became too commercialized and too much of a scene. I feel like Art Basel, probably around the time you were in it and a little bit before, really still had its balls and its heart, and people were like really about the art itself. Now, like, it's like, hey, who's throwing the best party at Art Basel?
It is a lot about the parties. I can't deny that, but it still is, you know, it's the largest art show in our country and one of the largest in the world, except for the original Basel. And I think Basel Tokyo now are all very, very competitive in size, but it really is, it takes over the city from outdoor sculptures to huge tents put up that have artwork, you know, with millions of dollars. And it still has that root of the art in it, but there are people that just come to get their party on, and the DJs that come down, and a crazy weekend. You can't get around.
There's a lot of booty shorts and fake asses. I mean, I'm not complaining. I enjoy looking. I'm there. But I'm a purist. I'm a miserable purist. Because it was a prestigious thing. It still is. And I bet you were pretty psyched when they booked you. How long have you been doing that kind of art, and what did you have to go through for Art Basel to reach out and say, hey, we really want you to do your thing? And exhibit one of your works or your performances?
Yeah, I've done it for the past 5 years, and I've kind of done something a little different almost each year where it comes to different types of performances, different types of gallery shows. It just all depends on who I ended up at that time. And
do you have to pitch to them, or are they asking you? Like, do you have to go through a submission? What happens?
I've been very fortunate with being in connections with the right people to get in some really cool locations, be it Wynwood, or I've done Riverwalk. It is about a who you know sort of thing, or how much money are you willing to put down. I mean, wall space in general that week, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, but okay. I won't spend that because I'm entertainment as well as having pieces.
Yeah, so just to kind of clarify for everybody at home, all the kiddies, because what you're saying is you got to know the right people, which isn't anything. You got to know people that are associated with the festival, but also know how to get space for you. And then location is very present in what you need to do. So you need to have somewhere that's cool, and you also need to know somebody that could set that up. And then a block of time, and I'm assuming the time that and day that you do it has to be pretty good too, right, to get people out.
Yes, and I normally like to be one of the last events of the night, because that's when everyone is out in the masses, when you get that spot that's, you know, that 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock spot before people are like really headed out to go party afterwards. And also that works best for me too, because then I can just clean everything up and don't have to worry about people trampling over buckets of paint.
Because you're going to sell that work, right? Like, you're going to go, hey, this is Splits artwork and I made this during Art Basel, like you're going to sell it. That's how you make money.
Correct.
And hopefully someone watching buys it. That's the point. It's like, right?
Or if not, they're intrigued enough to buy another piece or prints or want me to perform at their own event.
How long is that, is your show? How long is that?
They will vary in length of time. I try and keep them now in between half hour to 45 minutes just because people's attention spans are so short these days.
Do you ever bomb? Like, I mean, I'm a comic. Everyone bombs. Do you ever like, are you ever doing it and you're like, fuck, they're not even, I'm kind of losing them. Like, you know, you feel when you're losing an audience. Like, I don't know if it's capable because it's really unique what you do, but do you ever feel that? Have you ever felt that before?
Sometimes I feel, there was one event that I did on the 4th of July, and it was at a great gallery in Miami, and fireworks started going off, and I'm like, oh, well, you can come back in and see it when it's done. there was that time, but for the most part, people are pretty intrigued, and I do like it to be a fun event as well, where people are hanging out and talking, and they're checking out other artwork that's around. As much as I'm, you know, busting my ass literally to keep the high energy and the performance going, it's not something where I feel like people have to be seated and, you know.
Yeah. It's a performance, but it's not background, but you're saying that you are part of the art. So you want it to be like buzzy and people to be like, oh, that's cool. Stop and look at you for a while. Check out another piece of art. Come back to you. You're saying you're part of the structure of it all. It's not like you got to come watch me. And if you're not watching me, then you're an asshole.
Right.
That's more what I do. That's my MO. Don't fucking watch. If you're at my shows, if you're out there listening, you come to my and you're walking around with a drink in your hand like it's one of her shows, I'll fucking call you out. Don't do it. Setting a bad precedent. So when you first sold your first painting, how long into it was it? Like how many months, a year, whatever?
Oh gosh. It wasn't something that happened instantly. It was probably to my first piece to a stranger was probably 2-3 years in. Like I had friends that I would do things for or that I was creating something for. I'd cut off part of a canvas and have that either at, you know, a friend's price or give it as a gift, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still something that I'm working on the dynamics of because my pieces that I make are very large. They're 5 feet by 10 feet on average. So not everyone has necessarily the room inside their house for a piece that's that large. So what I'm doing a lot of times now is as I'm having a performance, people are getting the idea of it, and then they can see that I have croppings of other performance pieces that I've done and that are of a normal size that you'd put in a living room or...
Because you're, I mean, what are you, 5'4"? What are you about, 5'4", 5'2"? What are you?
Yeah, 5'2", 5'3", on a good day.
And you're stretching across these fucking canvases, so they're going to be big.
Right.
But that's the whole point. Like, it can cover the whole wall. It's like a centerpiece. It brings the room together.
Right.
All right. So I know you're on your website game. I know that. So tell everybody where they can find you, where they can see you, how they can follow you, how they can buy your work. Go.
All that good stuff can be found at SplitsArt, SPLITS.com for the website, IG, Twitter, Facebook. You can always hit me up at my real name too, Aaron Barilski.
Oh, I didn't know we were allowed to give that out. I was trying to keep it under wraps, but
it's all good.
I thought I was special. But
You Google it. You Google me. I come up. There's no hiding
it now.
Apparently,
I'm not special. It's not. when you do performances, you post all that on your website as well. So if they're in the Miami, do you travel to do some of your shows or not so much?
Not so much. I have, but most of it is local South Florida area, Miami especially.
Awesome. All right. Well, I love you. I'm a fan. So we had fun, didn't we?
Of course.
You love how we got that out. And I literally worked and I masturbated. I found a way to do it in a very organic way. And what we can all be thankful for. That's real art, folks. I can't wait till I'm more famous so I can buy all your paintings and have a whole room dedicated to Splits art. Book you. How much to get your clothes off, though? Is that something that's on the table if someone coughs up enough dough? As long as you're doing art, is that something that my listeners maybe they could pony up?
I guess they'll have to make the call and find out.
You do bachelor parties? Like, if they're like, hey, can you come? What if you get the paint in one of your cracks? This is the thing. I'm always concerned with getting things in my cracks. You're not concerned with that, though.
I do use children's tempera non-toxic paint, so...
I'm so happy you mentioned that. Now I have all my questions answered. Well, all right, baby girl. Thank you for coming on. You had fun, right?
Thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
All right. Well, I'm going to make sure everybody checks out all your stuff and buys it and whatnot.
Thank you. I wish you would have told me. I wish I could have talked to you just to
say goodbye. And that's Blitzart, everybody. Make sure you guys go out and buy her stuff and go follow her on the Twitter and on the Instagram and all that, because she deserves it. I think I actually want a painting myself, so Splits Art, if you're listening, please send me a painting, because I want one. These things are awesome, and I have a place for it. I'm going to hang it in my restroom. That way, when I am pleasuring myself, I can always think of you. Just kidding. I would never do that. I would never pleasure myself. I'm a eunuch. Anyways, Splitsy, if you're listening, my girl, thank you so much. You were an amazing guest. Thank you for sharing your journey, as well as what your art is and what it means to you. It's special women like you that make this show great, and I cannot thank you enough. That being said, you can always email the show, slampigpodcast@gmail.com. You can always get in touch through Twitter and Instagram @slampigpodcast. We post pictures of all the girls in the show and all that cool stuff. So make sure you go and you subscribe and you follow and you do all the things you should be doing if you enjoy something to help out and get the word out there. So, you know, sharing is caring, folks, so do it up. You can also follow me @JoshRicardo at all the aforementioned platforms. I just want to say I really appreciate all the support I've been getting over the course of the last few weeks after I had a couple incidents where people attacked the show because of the name. I think we've proven them more than wrong, and my guests have been incredible, and it couldn't have come at a better time. So, thank you guys so much for what you do. I love you, and I hope you're enjoying what we're doing, and I also hope you're having a great time.